Hello, we're on the air. This is Kathy Cook, Bright Lights Pathfinders, and we're Bridging Wisdom. Here on BBS Radio Station 1 tonight is March the 6th, 2012. My co-host is...
Michael Goger.
Hey, Michael Goger.
Glenn, good to be here. Happy to be here. All pumped up.
What were you wanting to ask me prior to coming on air? Can you do it on air?
No, I was just going to say, who was the tech that opened the show?
It was Doug.
Oh, I haven't met him. Okay.
Yeah, you have. Doug and Don, the twins. Doug.
Oh, that was Don?
Doug.
Doug. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I'm getting old. Everybody's complaining.
No, that's okay, babe. He doesn't. Yeah. We're fortunate to get him when we can because it's great to hear his voice.
Sure. I mean, well, that's why I was...
Excuse me. Go ahead.
That's why I was startled a little. I didn't recognize. I was expecting Seth, you know.
Well, you know, I call him the Word Man. Have you ever read Doug's writings? You can go, you know, where you go on the side of BBS station, main station, and it says Bible book or whatever, or just Google him. My gosh, he is amazing. I get into that Bible awareness book a lot just to read Doug's information. Or he used to host a show a couple of times. Go to the old archives, and you'll pull up Doug's old archives. He is amazing, just profound.
He has a Facebook too.
Yeah, he has everything. He keeps up with the news. He's my newsman. He lets me know what's going on in the world.
Mm-hmm. I posted TNT News Trader on my wall.
Yeah, he's the guru, day. I believe. He feels like, I don't know who people are, but I think of him as a guru, so maybe he is the one that posts BBS Guru, I don't know. But anyway, Michael, what's going to happen tomorrow?
Wow.
I know.
What's happening now?
Where will you be tomorrow at this time?
I will be in your shower, shampoo, and puppy whoopee.
Oh,
I will be in your home.
Specific. Yeah. Michael is so, let me just tell the active listening audience, it's like Oscar and Felix here.
Yeah.
I am so I don't prepare for anything, as the shows ever, or anything in my life, except for if I have to have an appointment. I don't have a clock. I don't, in this house, except for on the computer or my cell phone, I don't have calendars. It drives Michael nuts. Michael has everything planned out.
Yep.
What times, what's going where, when. And I'm like, okay, just tell me when, and I'll be there.
Oh, my Lord, it's true. You should see my setup. I could be blindfolded and get dressed and get my bags and go out the door. That's how lined up.
You slip in your clothes to go out the door. No, I'm just kidding. I go and get, just like with even my son's wedding. His wedding was going to be at 4 o'clock. I got in the shower at 20 after 3. You know, I'm just bam, 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 done. Just like when you were wanting all the... Michael gives me a list of what to have done before he gets here, which is good because if he didn't, it wouldn't be done. And he says, has it been done? I said, wait. I wait till the last minute. I get thrilled off the last minute getting things done. But,
Anyway,
Michael... did you hear about my dream? I did tell you a little bit about it. You know, in my meditations, how I always get important information. I think it's important because it's heavy-duty stuff. But remember a couple of weeks ago, I was telling you that I used to have a long time ago, it was like a wedding present before I even got here. It was a white, big, fat, puffy dragon. I called it Purity.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's come back. Also, my very first animal totem ever was a black panther. And it was, we were, I was in a red car, red Honda with Mama Cook, my ex-husband's mother, the woo-woo matey, the godmother of my children that goes woo-woo when she interprets dreams. And I was in the back seat of this car, and we went around, and I saw it when we went to Lake Lure for little Johnny and Kelly's wedding that mixed the black and white sand together for their wedding on your birthday 2 years ago, September the 25th, 2010. And I went, there's that place. That's when Sheena, my Black Panther, came back to me, because we were going around that road, but we were going the other direction, and we fell over the side of the cliff, but all these Native Americans chanted us down. This was like in the, like 1981, 1982. And I was given a Black Panther, her name, and it was from the Native Americans. It chanted us down to safety. This was a vision dream that I had. And after that, I would just go on all these places with the Black Panther, Sheena. And then she had babies and went off, you know, did her thing, and now she's back. And also, the other day's dream was a red cardinal, because it was tweeting. As I woke up, I put it on a the Blog Talk Radio thing, you know, just to put it in there, because I had to put it somewhere. The dream was so amazing, and I had my sleep voice on, but in the background was the red cardinal. So I want to talk tonight about the meanings of things. The dream, the vision, when my meditations, was the this huge, I was laying in this bed, and it wasn't in my house, and to the left of me, I'm going to skip the whole vision because I got to get to this part. But it was like this. My mother said the building was shifting. And I said, oh, no. And then all of a sudden, that wall became this humongous, Michael, the biggest door I've ever seen in my whole life. Looked like it was made out of columns and huge church, you know, the thick church, the old-fashioned old cathedral church doors. But then it turned into the headboard. So I figured that means, you know, about the dream, but as it came towards me, I was trying to get out the door to get away from it so it wouldn't hit me. All of a sudden, I turned around and I did my hand like wash on. You know, like Karate Kid, wash on, wash off. I did it like that, and it moved it over to the left side of the wall. Not the wall that, you know, the side of where the headboard was, where my head was. But I didn't tell it. You know, you have to be precise. I realized in the vision, and it came back towards me. But it was floating like an astronaut. Not that it was falling and everything. It was just floating, and it moved. It, you know, just shifted over where I moved it. Then it came back at me, and I took my right hand and washed off and turned and pushed it back towards where it was. I didn't watch to see where it landed or anything. But then I went on about my vision quest, you know, which is more while I was dancing and, you know, all this stuff. And then prior to this, tonight's, it, and the cardinal was in there, the Black Panther, and for some reason, this white dragon keeps coming up. But, okay, we're going to talk about that. And then we're going to talk about tonight, carrots, when I woke up from my dream, my vision quest. And I've been having eye problems, right?
Yeah.
So carrots mean I need more for my eyes, right?
Or paranormal...
I was feeding the horses, and my brother said, go get some carrots. I got three carrots, and then I woke up.
That's something, yeah, and then your eyes were acting up. And
now seeing the vision, the energy shifts, yeah. And seeing zigzags come into my right peripheral vision, and yep. My girlfriend and I stood a broom up in the kitchen, and it stood up, and before I knew it, it was all over the world. Everybody tried this at home, because your broom and mops, anything will stand up on the... I don't know, the portal's kind of closed because the broom fell. I left it standing until, you know, it fell. But.
Well, there was definitely a lot going on with the Mercury retros, the planets being lined up, and the solar flares. And so there was a lot going on.
Yeah.
With the planet and the stars.
Well, Michael, listen to this. The Black Panther. I mean, it's just, it was with me all the time from 80 to like 2004, 2006, 2007. You know, and then it just wasn't around. And I did look it up on the internet at the blackpaper.com, and then it says the meaning behind the Black Panther, which it's secretive and silent and graceful, and it eases curious minds. And that was at the end of this dream, the vision meditation the other day when I moved the door, when the energy shifted, before I saw the energy in my eye, okay? First, the energy shifted in my meditation, and that huge door came at me, and I washed on, washed off. And then my eye started acting up to where I saw double vision straight ahead, regular vision above, you know, if I looked up, and regular vision if I looked down. And if I covered one eye, either eye, I could see straight, you know, clear. It was only straight ahead. And that I knew the energy was shifting because I could feel it. And that's when we tried the broom. But prior to that, two nights prior, was this dream about the big door. It's like a portal. It was a big door. And it was an opening. You know, like we were going through it. And it was the 29th of February to the 31st, to the 1st of March. So it's the 29th of February, 2012 to the 1st of March, which was a leap year. So I was thinking, you know, before I said, you know, this is like a quantum jump. You remember that Quantum Leap movie, Quantum Leap or something? But let's get back to the Panther, because I'm excited that it's back in my dreams and stuff. But it means understanding dark and death, inherent powers with them. And it eliminates the fear if you learn how to use the powers within it. And also, that's like the, you know, the new earth, the dimensional change here. It's like a death rebirth. And it also represents the north and seasons for power. And water is the most effective element for it. Anyway, just Google search that. It awakens the inner passions. And then the other day, I had a dream. Last Tuesday, I broadcast a little bit about, you know, finding those crystals that this man had made, you know, had. And it was a rose quartz inside of like a test tube. And then later on in the vision, he handed me one because I told him about this dream. It was the same dream, same vision, you know, with the door coming out. And when I told him about it, he handed me a rose quartz inside of a clear crystal. And I know rose quartz represents love, and the clear quartz crystals represents wisdom. Now, Puff Puff, my white purity dragon, that's wisdom, right? But I looked up, this is what's going to blow your mind. I looked up white dragon, and that's the symbol for England. Well, England, the cardinal, the red cardinal, is the cardinal knowledge of the, you know, what the Pope, you know, Catholic. So it all was connecting, but it was in separate places. And I was just now finding that out prior to coming on air. So bear with me, guys. I'm bouncing, but I'm really not. I'm unfolding as I go here.
Yeah, yeah. And remember about a week ago during one of my workouts, you said what came to me, and I said, a Black Panther. Remember that?
Wow, yeah. You became a Black Panther because you become things in your workouts.
Yeah, during the workout, you asked me, what was I? And I said, a Black Panther.
Well, this says that a Black Panther signals time for rebirth after a period of suffering and death on some level. So that makes a lot of sense for both of us. And the Native American people see it as a, you know, great magic and power, but they also see it as a very superior. It's more superior than any of the tiger family. I don't see myself as superior, but, you know.
Well,
and it also says it keeps things, it only gives out some information, and it doesn't have to give out a lot because it keeps a lot for itself. And that's amazing because that's me. I'm about, you know, I give out a little bit here and there. It's like, it says right here, Panthers is secretive and silent. It says she is careful not to share too much information, only enough to ease the curious minds. That's called the blackpaper.com, but it's talking about the Black Panther.
Wow.
I know. Isn't that something? And then I'll Google search the Red Cardinal. Now, the red cardinal, you know how I have them everywhere in my house, in my yard. They about come up to my hand and eat out of it. And I have one YouTube called Soulmates with the where the two cardinals meet in the snow. But that's the finch family. And all that time I thought that little sparrow was coming to my house. It was a finch because it comes in out for 5 years now. But the red cardinal represents cardinal knowledge and represents the red that the Pope puts on. But I said something a long time ago in this 766-7665 about, not that one, I'm sorry, scratch that, but another, where I was teaching in Yahoo, and I talked about the background of Cornwall, England. So there's something going on that I haven't unraveled. You're like my interpreter. You know, I see the things, and that's what God says anyway in the Bible. He says, somebody can speak in foreign tongue, and then it takes an interpreter. Somebody can see the dream, but it takes an interpreter. So I've got the red cardinal, which is the only bird, the male bird, will help feed the babies. If the mother's in the nest, it will also feed the mother. But it also is it's the bird of the North Carolina state bird, too, oddly enough.
And it could be the Catholic Church in England. Who knows?
I dreamed about the white dragon came back. It's a little big puffy ball, you know. And then the week before, I found what my understanding of that pearl being at the bottom of the ocean when I did my meditation was telling Don Newsom about it. And you on three-way that night, and we thought how wild it was, weird it was, because I went to the depths of the sea and. It's like a mermaid, but there was a city down there, and I don't know what it was, but I want to name it Atlantis because I've read about Atlantis being at the bottom of the sea. But anyway, I grabbed the white pearl, this huge pearl, and it was bigger than the earth, but it centered into the center of the earth. Then it shed its skin, and I called it Mother Pearl, and then you said, yeah, it's like the pearly gates of heaven. Remember that meditation? Mm-hmm. But I found last week, where it's in Judas, talking about Thomas and the last while they were in prison, it tells about the pearl, and it talks about it being at the bottom of the sea and the dragon and all that stuff and how it becomes part of the new world. You know, the purity mother. That's what's called Mother of Pearl. So I'm just, I know that I sound like I'm bouncing, but let me just say, number one, I dreamed about the pearl at the bottom of the ocean, and I became the pearl and took it in my meditations. I can do whatever I want. I can walk on water. I can shoot over the star. It doesn't matter. I can become a little megapixel of a dot, and then I can pull myself back together. It's really fun. But anyway, I put it in the center of the earth that we have now, and then the earth shed the outer layers of its crust, you know, the outer circumference, and became a new world. Now, we're all concerned about this, 2012 and all this stuff. And the ascension, the ascension is into heavens. And also, then with that dream, I call it a dream because my meditations are so deep. Then the next meditation that was so significant was where I was asleep and I kept getting covered up with blankets. And the blankets kept getting changed by my ancestors and cousins and grandparents, everybody that had passed. And I remember everybody that I ever met and ever knew was in that dream. They were everywhere. And then the other day when my eye went out, I was turning. I was only on like a 500-foot stretch. And as soon as I turned onto the main road of Providence Road, it went away. But I said, angel blankets. And my eyesight came from dark. Because I had to close one eye so I could see. It's only happened 3 times. But anyway, yeah. So... there's the blankets, I believe, is what that meant, you know, that I was blanketed with angels because all of my ancestors that were passed were the ones changing my blankets constantly. And everybody was doing Reiki on me. And all these people were Reiki-ing me, and my hands were levitating in my arms. But then my cousins and my grandfather were levitating my legs, and they wanted to see if I thought I was doing it. It's kind of like a check trick. Are you going to confirm and say that you're doing this, Tassie, or are we doing it? Is it you or is it us? And I just moved my feet over and says, oh, y'all tricksters. Like that, you know, to let them know that I knew that it's weird. Because the very first time I ever saw somebody passed, remember it was my grandfather Hill,
And it was on his birthday that I dreamed this vision. And he told me, when he came to me in my dream, I was in the 10th grade, he said, don't touch me. Remember? I told you about that. And you said, what does it, you know, when you passed, what did Jesus say?
Right. What did he say
when he rose? You told me about it. That was the first thing he said when he rose again on the third day.
Don't touch me.
Well, what's that? Why though?
What, baby?
I said, why? Why are we not supposed to touch somebody that's passed?
I'm not sure. There's documented touching and no warnings, and there's documented don't touch me.
I don't dream of people that have passed very often, you know. But when Granddaddy came to me like that, and then I dreamed this vision about that portal opening. And that brings me back to when you were here on New Year's Eve, and we had said that we would get married on New Year's Eve 2 years ago, and we went across the threshold and named the Red Star. Remember? And then we came back across the threshold and we couldn't find our child. We lost, 8 hours of time? We don't even remember it.
Yeah. It was probably the most intriguing thing that's happened to me, paranormal. I still think about it to this day.
There was
a missing time.
I want to say something right quick. If it wasn't for you in my life, I would still be so scattered, like trying to find a TV channel. You complete me with such organization and understanding in such a gentle way. And your ways of getting things straight and planning, I just love you for that, and I want to thank you.
Thank you, babe. Thank you.
So it's just like with this, with how I'm bouncing with all these. I've got so much information, I don't know where to start with it. So I'm going to hand it over. I'm going to hand it over to you and see what you come up with.
Oh my God! I probably start telling jokes. You can't leave me alone.
I'm right here. I'm still with you. I'm just asking you, from the pearl coming out of the dragon of the depths of the sea, but I saw it as a big shell. You know, it was curled up.
Well, mediumistically and psychically and intuitively, I'm taking the whole thing, and I'm saying it represents a new birth for you and me and for the planet.
Mm-hmm.
The entire vision and dreams. I mean, all the colors, the blanket, the dragon, the pearl, the panther, what
and
we're
the cardinal.
Going through.
The cardinal knowledge.
Yeah, it all points to rebirth, and a lot of it, surprisingly, is connected to the root level, to the roots. The roots
which,
are being changed.
Which we started about 2 months ago with Revelations 22, which was the tree of knowledge, which was on both sides of the river. You know, the roots are. It's on both sides of the river, which is yin and yang to me. And, you know, half full, half empty glass. I say totally empty because it's the living waters, which is the root. It flows through, you know, the river of living waters, and the roots of the tree of knowledge are on both sides, deeply rooted. Because one root just builds another tree. It's the same tree, but it's one.
You know, and I like to tell everybody that is listening, that you are a very deep-rooted, shamanic healer, versed in everything. What you see is what you get. It ain't coming out of no book. It's coming out of her meditations and heart, and it all connects. She's a phenomenal lady. So I listen to everything that she does say. So I just want to explain. They're probably wondering, well, where's this coming from?
Thank you so much, Michael. It goes from generations of my father's side, his mother.
You go,
you know, from healing with hands, holy men, medicine women, you know, all that stuff.
And you meditate every day and very deep.
At the same time.
Right.
Between 30 minute, I have a 33-minute window, but you're very good at saying go meditate. You know, it's meditation time. And sometimes, because I'll forget, we'll get wrapped up in a conversation, you know, first thing in the morning. But it's at, you know, I'm not going to tell what time it is, because then everybody will cap in and we'll see what's going on. No, I'm just kidding. But I meditate three times a day. My heavy meditation is 2 to 3 to 4 hours after, well, I'd say 2 hours after I get up. And that's an hour and a half. And sometimes I fall asleep in it. And I know that I've done a good thing when I come back out. And when I wake up out of it, I do not just jump up. I make sure that I connect my entire body back certain ways. You know, I have my certain ways of doing things. But, Michael, I appreciate that.
And to me, you know, I want to tell everybody, too, if they were ever to meet you and be in your presence, especially at your home, the first thing that would jump out at you would be Native American.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't even have anything out unpacked yet after 3 years,
As soon as I pull in your driveway, I feel Native American all around.
Well, I'm humbly blessed with thanks for that. Thank you.
So, you know, I just wanted to relay that. So I have a deep respect for Native American.
My grandmother would not tell me much because back in the day, you know, I'm 56 years old, that you weren't supposed to talk about Native American stuff because it was savage, you know. That was when the schools thought of the Native Americans being in the white schools as savage and stuff like that. So she never really told me much. She just kept saying, search your roots. And I found some tapes of her and I just sitting and talking. And I had gone and dug my first stones at Hidden Night. And all my cousins and everybody thought I was, you know, one of these new age, you know, crazy nuts. I don't know. Back in the 80s, they thought of new age as weird because they were scared of it. They didn't understand it. And now they're all about, tell me more. Because I gave grandmama a bunch of stones that I dug up. And she told me a little bit, but she told me, she picked up my hands. I was about in the 10th grade or she picked them up once when I was 12 and then again when I was about in the 10th grade, right before Granddaddy died. Because everything, oddly enough, that Granddaddy was not saved, but he was a good man. He was a hard man. He's just one of those old hardcore men. And everything that his business, his house, his cars, everything burned up at different times. But everything he touched burned to the ground. And right before he died, it snowed really, 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 really strong, and it was a weird snow because it was right at our exams in the springtime, you know, like spring exams, and he passed away that night of a big, huge snowstorm. But he had asked, you know, Jesus to be his savior, and then I mean, maybe 3 months later, he was the very closest man in the whole wide world, as close as mom and father, and he taught me, you know, everything I know about how to tie knots to pigs, you know, being on a farm.
Yes.
And then grandmama taught me more on what herb, you know, what things to eat, that good and bad, what you could do with certain, like if there was a, you know, if we went without, what foods can you eat, like the clover, the which trees, like the oak, certain oak trees, but certain oak trees we couldn't. Because, you know, sumac is poisonous, which is like an oak tree. And, you know, we made salads and stuff. And then when I went and studied with the Seneca Reservation grandmothers and you're assigned a grandmother, I didn't put the two together, you know, until just now, you know, recently, that she was teaching me most of the stuff that I learned, but not, she didn't teach me much subliminally, you know, just in passing and then changing the subject real quick. And it's the same thing that I learned at the Seneca Reservation. I went, when the year I went, that strikes out in my mind the most is 1990, I believe it would be 90, let's see, I want to say 93, because 93 to 97, you know, somewhere in between there, that they taught us how to survive off the land when we have our nuclear war. And then they said if, and then they told us which planet, you know, like the tip of Texas would fall in, and it will start with New Orleans, of which it did, and they taught us how the shifting would happen, and and early 90s, I shared with a person that, you know, it was before the internet, that the Earth was changing its axis and it was falling off its polar shift. And I told my mom about that. And I told her also that early in the late 80s, I told her about the water getting kind of poisoned and damaged. I don't know where I'm going with all this, but things come out of me and I don't know what they mean, but I just kind of put them over there. You know what I mean? I don't think on them all. I don't think about. But you, that brings me to symbols. You know how you ask for a symbol or mm-hmm. you know, show me a sign?
Show me a sign, or why do some people ask for signs? Something, some don't. And mm-hmm.
Why don't you give an understanding deeper of what do you mean by show me a sign for what?
Well, a small one today was, I live in my third eye and crown chakra, my heart chakra, and so I'm always at the medium or the artist level and dramatic. Is that puppy?
She hears her daddy.
She hears, wow.
She does this every day. She gets on the phone. She's quiet all the time, except for when you're on the phone or in this house.
Mm-hmm.
Puppy Wuppy's 14 and a half.
So, being dramatic as I am and spiritual, I said to myself, so I'm always in my head in a movie, so I said to myself, am I on the right path? And I do the first thing I'm directed to do, and I was told to open up the curtain, which I never do, and look out the window, and I did it.
This was when we were on the phone earlier, right?
Yeah, and there was a jet flying by, and that was my sign.
Wow.
That everything was on target.
Mm-hmm. Instead of living in the human spirit, you live in the outer with spiritual, you allow the spiritual part of you to direct you. If you get a human thought of a major thing that would happen in your life or something that you're supposed to do, then you ask for a sign. Is that right?
Not all the time.
Okay.
All the time. It depends on who I'm channeling and what
right.
I'm channeling.
Okay. Tell the active listening audience about the penny in the airport, you know. Give them an example of,
Go
to the airport, you had all your shamanic tools, and tell them about that.
Oh, well, I gave them I always get stopped. I must look like a Norwegian diamond smuggler. But they always stop me. So one day it was a big guy, and he was like, "Come to me, sir."
I can't hear you, honey.
Well, I was just telling everybody that I always get stopped and checked at the airport.
Okay.
And one time it was a real big tough guy, and he pulled me over to the side, and and I carry my spiritual supplies in a purple-black bag with a red ribbon around the top of it. He goes,
and it looks just like my shirt I wore in Ashley's rehearsal dinner.
Yeah.
It did. I pulled it out the other day in the closet, remember?
Yeah, so...
I just never look at it when you're here. I just don't go there. I don't think of you as anything but Michael Gogerman. Funny money.
Yeah. So he says, what's in here? And he's bouncing it. And he hears a bell and this and that. I said, my tools that I use in my on my job. And he goes, what job? I said, I'm an intuitive consultant. So he says, you mind opening it up? So I opened it up, and everything comes tumbling out the front of it. crucifix and a Buddhist bell and my Hidnight crystal and he jumped back and went, oh!
and a shaman pendant we both have that's made out of rose quartz that blue stone for psychic abilities.
And that was another time. This was a female, and I could see in her eyes that she was coming from a higher level. And they did another bag check, and then she pulled out that shamanic medallion.
Yeah.
And she went crazy. She had to run around the airport showing it to all her friends.
But tell them how she showed them very reverently holding it on that
Yeah. She used the bag that it was came in.
She never touched it.
So that told me she knew what she was doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because she made a point of not touching it with her hands. She was cupping it with the bag that it comes in, so it's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Different people's beliefs.
Mine changes. Yours say, you know, you have a pack of, like, you're going to pack for tomorrow morning. You said you're going to pack that last, but mine goes, I don't know. Half my stuff is gone. Somehow my house somebody had a key or something, kept coming in, taking two things at a time. Till finally, it depleted my.
Yeah.
Things that I had collected since I was little. I collect stones all over the world. And, you know, I know which stone was what. As a matter of fact, I gave Wayne Lewis, that is the bodyguard, and he trained Chuck Norris, and he did the feng shui in my house as I moved. I gave him one that had a fossil in it. He put it inside of a glass, looked like a test tube. And that brings me back to that dream where I was where I was finding all those stones right at the gutter, side of the gutter. And the owner of the stones, he had one that he gave to me, and he put it in a test tube. And then when I told him, then I went on about the, you know, vision quest and ended up seeing that door open up a portal, you know, it's like a spaceship almost, but it's called the Belt Building. And I was going to do it. Huge ballet performance. Everybody was there to see me, and I told the guy. He was at this desk, and it looked just like the desk when I was in Aruba. And I had fallen on the volcanic rocks, and they had put some kind of plant on my hand. And I later found out, looking in my journals, that it was an aloe plant, and it healed it right away. But it was a big archway where you could swing through. But that went with some portal that opened up, you know, that took me through that memory. But when I told him about it, it was because that where that lady put that aloe on my hand, it looked exactly like that big desk in the hotel where I said to him, are you here to watch me perform? And he said, are you Kayla? And I said, no, I'm Kathy Cook. He goes, no, you on. Yes, I'm Kathy Cook. He goes, no. I told him about the dream, you know, the vision, what had just happened, because in the dream, in the vision, it was real, just as real as me and you talking right now. And he handed me the rose quartz instead of it being in a test tube type thing. It was inside of a pure, clear quartz crystal. And he let me choose from many, and one of them was centrine, you know, it was a cracked open type rock, and you could see centering it, which is for healing and better understandings and balance. And anyway, so I there were several to choose from, and his daughter said, I want you to have this one. And the rose quartz inside the crystal was like it was melted fire, you know, lava, but it was pink. And then it had like our shamanic pendant that we both have, the capped with the silver. But this had three silver drippings down the side, real flat, and, you know, to hold it together. It was really cool. It was the most gorgeous thing I've ever seen in a, you know, symbolic thing. So, you know, it's amazing how your flight, your tools, my visions and dreams, you know, because you're a very intense, gifted shaman as well. And helped me a lot unfold things.
Self-taught, and I got a lot of guides that are Native American.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm looking at my diamond that we found at the mine. You remember the third eye I said it grew?
Uh-huh.
It's gone.
The Himalite diamond?
Yeah, it grew a third eye, and then and I'm looking at it now, just for the heck of it, and the third eye is gone.
And the third eye was black, right? Carbon type black?
Oh, yeah. It was just like the regular eyes.
Remember I told you that the stones would put black, like carbon. So I know the ones here do when you do energy work. And then when they're cleansed and purified, you know, your energy levels change, then the stone that you use does too. So all I did was pull all the negative energy with the third eye, but, you know, and then washed it out, and now it's clear again.
That's what I'm hearing. And all week I was sleeping with it in another direction under my pillow.
Wow.
And I'm just looking at this, and I'm like, wow, because that third eye was embedded in the middle
of it. I saw it, yeah. Because we, Michael and I, dig our own stones at Hidden Knight, North Carolina. And I've done it since I can remember, late 70s, early 80s. And that's where I get my stones. I don't buy them online. The only thing I've ever gotten online was the schematic medallion that Michael and I wanted to get together the same. It's real heavy and big. Or if somebody will gift me. But I'm talking about the stone. I don't work with the stones. You know, I just set them up and, you know, I don't pull the energies or what they're doing for me. I just don't. I want to be pure, raw from the Holy Spirit down inside of me. And I don't want to use any kind of need. Now, I will, if I am told to look at something, you know, or my head will turn to something, like it's looking right now at this angel with his wings crossed over, holding a lamb. You know, we're like sheep here on this earth, and God is our shepherd. I shall not want, like Psalms. So I'm pulled to that, and then I'm looking at a bear that's holding a birthday cake. And that's like...
You know, baby, I can't wait to get to that day when I'm an artist.
Uh-huh.
And I can do that, like, one reading a day like that. Because this lady does not use absolutely no tools, no nothing, no...
Never have.
Never have, never did, never will. She goes into communication with the Holy Spirit, God, and
PBS Radio's 24-hour news music station. I do my meditations through that. You know, the music, I dance to it and go out into the waters and stuff. But then when I do my meditations too, in the mornings I lay totally still. But that, the second one I do is with the music, and then the third one I do is a little dance. And rest. Kind of like a balance. I hold my arms out to the side and let them balance to which way the earth is pulling, you know, and where it needs working. And then I'll do my prayers through where it's kind of like a compass. We use it like a compass, my arms. And that's how I know where I need to help the earth, because I do my part as much as I possibly can. Because I wanted to say that a lot of people feel like they've got to go to Sedona, Arizona, which is the heaviest vortex in the earth, but, you know, or different pinpoint places and do things, but we can do it from here, because we are wherever we focus and we project out into that spot. You know, and we don't have to be at a certain spot and set up things and move things around. You know, okay, you can if that's what you need, but I don't need that. I just can go out there through my crown chakra and go out there. But I always keep that gold thread hooked to me like a umbilical cord.
And for anybody wondering about me, I am a Christian. She's a devout Christian, and I am a Christian too. But I do use tools because I mass produce and I do live performances. And
well, let's just skip Michael, you want to take a call right quick? While you're doing that, Let's go on and make a call. Thank you so much, Doug. Because, Michael, let's just take a call. I'm going to go feed Puppy so she'll stop. And you take this call if you don't mind. I'll welcome them on the air.
All right. Let's see. Okay. That's good. And this will be the lucky caller.
This is, he's typing to us now to let us know who. Because we don't usually take calls on this show, do we, Michael?
No, we teach, but it's kind of like a chill night.
Yeah, we touched base on a lot of things. Gail is on the air. Hello, Gail. You're on the air.
Hi, Kathy. Hi, Michael.
Hi.
Hi.
I didn't listen. I listened to the show late, and I didn't know if this was a reading show or not, but
yeah.
Sorry, if I guess it's not. I didn't know. Well, did you want to?
No. You're welcome.
We've got like not quite 5 minutes left, Gail.
Minutes, and you were meant to get through. So let me tell you, what I'm hearing for you, Gail, right off the bat, is that I do feel, and I know what you want me to talk about, so I'm just going to go to it. Going, and I want to say it's... within 2 weeks is an interest, I feel, and or a show.
Within 2 weeks, the house you're talking about?
Yeah, getting rid of the house and relocating. You got a showing coming up?
Well, we had an open house, and we're having it for 1 hour. We're having another one this Sunday for 1 hour. We're going to do 1 hour ones every Sunday till it goes. But we saw a house today my mother really loved, and I did. Beautiful area, Monroe. And I was just wondering if I give you the street name or if you need it, do you see us getting that house or not? Do you want the street name?
Hang on for a second. I just want to feel something here. It's up in the air. I'd rather stay with and just end it with that... the showings that you had, there's going to be a serious inquiry, and it's going to start getting busy from there. Catch another show.
A serious what?
An inquiry, or somebody wants it, and it's the beginning of getting rid of it. But I feel like it's played out for a while. So... going into August. August keeps jumping out at me. Like, it's starting now, and August you start a new life, and it's written in stone. So,
but if you show it in 2 weeks, why would it take until August, I wonder?
I don't know. I don't know.
I know. It's so weird, huh?
It could be somebody to put something down on it and runs into a few snafus. So, and I'm talking August anywhere from actually going to you being moved into your new home. So, think outside the box.
Yeah, it keeps changing all the time. That's why I have to keep checking in with you.
Why don't you give me numbers?
I'm going to let you go. Just know that, you want numbers?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I was just going to say, do you have numbers for me?
Oh, yeah, I do. I got I always have numbers. They're always floating around. I got a 11, 22, 8, 33.
33. Any 3 here, baby?
16.
What'd you say?
16.
16? I can't hear you. What'd you say?
16 and 10.
One more.
Wasn't that 7? 11, 22, 8,
33, 16, and 10.
44.
Wow, you got a lot of doubles.
Whew.
Wait a minute, I'm like, I have to See, this one different.
And I think it's just banking too that delays it a little bit, but it'll be a mail.
Okay, all the double digit, the 11, 22, and 33, and 44 equal 110, which is an 11, which is a door gate opening. And the zero is the beginning and the ending. You know, it's a never ending, it's the cosmic egg. So you're going into a new shift in a dimensional part of your life and world. And you've got the eight, which is, can either look at it as a double foundation, like you're in your area now that you live and you're going to move to another, like a new foundation. But the eight is also like an infinity number, which is like the zero, but, you know, never, it never began because it always was, and it never ends because it always will be. And then you have a seven, which is a, the 16 is a seven. The seven is a completion number, and it's also the seven wonders of the world, the seven Shemaine chakras, the seven primary colors, the seven colors of the rainbow. You can go on and on with the seven. And then you have a 10 at the end, which is a double five, which means double change, but it also is a one and a zero, which is single, unity, oneness with the always was and always will be. So your combination is a, like a double, basically is a double foundation of a new door gate opening with a completion and wonders of the world, you know, wonders of your, of things that are happening. You're amazing with your gifts that are transpiring, and you're beginning to accept and decide that, hey, this is what it is, and it is what it is. It's great. Thank you, Gail, for your call. Hope that helps you. Hello?
Hello? Thank you very much, both of you, and have a wonderful time down in North Carolina with Tassie, Michael.
Oh, my pleasure. I'm a spoiling nightingale.
I can't hear you. I got a bad connection tonight for some reason, but thank you both so much, and God bless you both.
God bless
you. Stay in touch. Lovely lady, lovely lady.
Yeah, I remember her voice.
Yeah, I believe she's from Connecticut, that part of the world.
So we read a lot together on blog talks and in the rooms back in the day. But I hope her numbers helped her a little bit. I couldn't hear what she said because I did. I was in there. Puppy was wanting to go outside, and I didn't get to hear your reading. So.
Yeah, she likes the numbers, and she. I heard her say thank you and have a nice, safe trip. And,
okay.
So she, yeah.
Well, let's make our energy ball because we like to get off a few minutes early so they can prepare for the next show that comes up.
Can I get my phone out there in case anybody wants to contact me for a private session? Mention the show and you will get 5 half hours for $100. So
wow.
It's a no-brainer.
That's great.
If you're interested.
It's a no-brainer for the change number that is in right now, too. You know what I mean? The number for right now is 5 for the world, which is a change number.
All right. Call me at 518-249-3995, and I want to say hello to Charlotte. Can't wait to get there tomorrow, and thank you to your family and your children and your home and your energy.
Well, thank you, darling. Can't wait for you to get here, and you have a safe trip, and I'll talk to you before you leave. I would like to send out prayers to not only the President Obama and his decisions that he makes and his family, but I'd also like to send out prayers to the whole universe. And the contacts that we make out in the universe coming back to us, and keep an open mind, non-judgmental, always be where you're supposed to be and be who you are, and not be anybody else's anything but yourself, one with your higher self and your higher power. And peace, as Michael says, dwell on peace. What would you like to put in there, baby?
Well,
I would like to add, please send good thoughts and energy and prayers to Iran, Israel, and all the superpowers.
Yeah.
And bring peace to that region.
Healing. That's
and
beautiful.
Also, I just want to say thank you, God.
Thank you, God. May the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. That's what I said when I put the flower, the rose on my father's casket, and it just came to me. May all the things that we say and do speak be of the right way and the right direction and for the good of all things, and bring into my life all people, places, and things that are of God's will, and remove all people, places, and things that aren't, for me to continue to do my mission, my reason that I feel that I am here, and that is to help this world love and help this world evolve into a better place with healing.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, BBS. Thank you, Doug. It's great hearing you, Word Man. Thank you, Seth,
Rob,
Engineer. And thank you, Dawn Newsom of BBS Radio. This is Kathy Cook, Bridging Wisdom, Bright Lights Pathfinders with Michael Gober. And Tom Stamp again at the end of this archive. It is March the 6th, 2012. Listen up and tune in to the Spiritual Revolution next on BBS Radio, Station 1. We're off the air.